I got invited to the Emmy Awards last year. Not because I'm a big deal or anything. I'm a mid-level business affairs lawyer at one of the television networks. I got invited because my boss had an extra ticket and his wife didn't want to go. But I didn't care that I was only going because his wife couldn't find a sitter. I was excited. Excited because the only time I'd gotten to go to the Emmys before was 10 years ago when I was a limo driver. And this time I'd get to go inside. See, 10 years ago, I was a struggling actor. I wasn't a complete failure at it. I got a bunch of guest star roles in commercials, but they were few and far enough between that I was in this cruel gray area where I was just good enough to keep going, but not doing well enough to survive. So the only way I could support myself was to supplement my income with a bunch of side jobs. And for an 18-month period, when I was too broke to own a car, I worked as a limo driver because it was the only job that would provide me with a free set of wheels. See, as a limo driver, you got to keep the car at home on the days you were working, and they didn't really care if you used it for personal errands between runs. As long as you didn't do something patently abusive and stupid like take it up to Big Bear, which some of these other guys actually did because limo drivers are idiots. But that's another story for another day. But the long and short of it was that in between runs to the airport, I was driving to my auditions in a Lincoln Town Car. I loved driving that town car to auditions because they give better parking to limo drivers than they do to actors. Actors coming to audition have to park outside the studio gates across the street. You're the lowest form of life. But as a limo driver, they just wave you through the front gate and let you park anywhere you wanted. They figured you were driving someone who mattered. So I'd park up front, change clothes in the back seat, and do my audition before my next run to LAX. It was fun for a while because it made me feel like a real starving artist. I was out there really making a go of it, working a crummy job by choice so that I could chase this artistic dream. And that job also taught me two things I had somehow never learned until I was 30. How to be on time and to tuck my shirt in. But the hard part of being a limo driver was temporarily glimpsing the lives of the clients in the back seat, who were members of a privileged overclass you were not a part of. You might occupy the same physical space as they did when you drove them, and they might even chat with you or be charming and kind. But they lived in a different plane and weren't bound by the same financial or physical limitations as you were. I drove people who could get airplanes to wait for them. I, on the other hand, could be woken up at any time of day or night, on any day of the week, to pick up a client. My schedule, my agenda, my sleep and meal times were completely out of my control. Those are the types of differences you notice when you're sitting in the front seat and comparing your life to those in the back. Being that close to people with money, success, and power was like working as a chambermaid at Downton Abbey. You and the lord of the house might both be in the vicinity of the same chamber pot, but there's a big difference between using it and cleaning it out. In any case, one of my regular clients was a then-prominent sitcom actress, and I had to drive her to the Emmys. And I can still remember dropping her off at the entrance with her colleagues and handlers, where they mingled with people I recognized from television. They got handed swag bags full of free goodies and then went inside the auditorium to that secret little world of theirs. Then I went off to the limo parking area a quarter of a mile away, where hundreds of drivers waited, slept, and smoked until their betters summoned them, via pagers back then, to pick them up and take them home to their houses in the hills. I ended up bailing on the whole acting thing several years later and went to law school. I never really intended to do entertainment law. I didn't need glamour anymore. I just wanted a steady paycheck, health insurance, and a clean office. Glamour was for people in their 20s. Approaching 40, all I wanted was stability. But God had other plans. And I ended up back in the entertainment business, but now as a warden, not an inmate. And it's funny, because I'd been banging my head against the castle walls for years trying to break in through the artist entrance with little more than modest success and a lot of cranial bruising to show for it. But once I gave up and knocked on the door of the front office, a drawbridge came down, trumpets blared, and I was invited in as if they'd been waiting for me. So when it came around full circle and my boss asked me if I wanted to go to the Emmys, I didn't care if I'd only gotten invited because his wife didn't feel like going and he needed to dump an extra ticket. The answer was an unequivocal, "You bet your fucking A I want to." After all, the last time I was there, I was waiting in a remote parking lot with a bunch of derelicts and chain-smoking immigrants. So if I descended, even accidentally, to a place where I'd actually been invited inside, you could bet your ass I was going in there before they changed their minds. So my boss gives me my ticket, and I see that the dress code is black tie. Now, I don't own a tuxedo, but my boss says it's okay. You don't need to wear a tux. All you need is a dark suit. Great. So I look through my closet and realize that the only dark suit I had was the shitty black suit I wore back when I was a limo driver. I don't know why I still had it over 10 years later, but I liked the idea of wearing it to this fancy schmancy event because I was 100% sure I'd be the only one there who was wearing the same suit he'd wore 10 years ago when he'd worked there as a limo driver. It was my little secret wink to myself in the mirror. My little way of knowing that the same guy in that shitty suit had worked his way up from the parking lot to the governor's ball. But what about the tie? All of my ties are these arty-farty things with bright primary colors. I couldn't wear one of those to a black tie event. I needed something dark and sedate. Well, it turns out that the only dark tie I had was also from my limo driving days. And it was a clip-on. I'd gotten it because the dicks who ran the place insisted that we wore black ties. No designs, no other colors, not even dark, dark blue. It had to be black. And at the time I was driving limos, I could not find a solid black tie in any store I went to. Nobody sold them. Probably because nobody other than an undertaker wants to wear a black fucking tie. I looked everywhere. Finally, I had a brainstorm and found this place that sold uniforms to restaurants, hospitals, police departments. And I found these black clip-on ties that they sold to CHP officers. Turns out they wore clip-on ties so that no one they pulled over or arrested could try to strangle them with it. And I loved that on so many levels. First, because I pictured some felon trying to grab the cop's tie and having it come off in his hand. And also because it was really comfortable and it was made out of this industrial-grade rayon blend that never wrinkled and always maintained the perfect knot. Because, of course, it really wasn't a knot. It was a sculpted, stuffed thing that looked like a knot. But it couldn't dent, buckle, or fade. But mostly I liked it because I hated those fucking assholes who ran the limo company and loved the idea of subverting their dress code by wearing a clip-on tie. It was the ultimate way to say fuck you to the man. And as an actor, I loved the idea of wearing that cheesy clip-on because it made me feel like I was wearing a costume. I wasn't really a limo driver. I was a guy from Central Casting playing the part of a limo driver. And to complete the costume, the white button-down shirt I wore under my coat secretly had short sleeves. That kept me cool in the summer, and more importantly, was another silly attempt to say fuck you to the man. I imagine that this non-regulation undergarment added a clever layer of irony to the situation. What it really did was make me look like a NASA engineer circa 1960 when I took off my jacket. I guess I put a lot of energy into subverting authority back then and playing games that no one else cared about or was even aware of. But I was young and stupid, and I guess that's how I entertained myself. But back in real life, 48-year-old Adam still had to figure out what tie to wear to the Emmys. And for some reason, those same juvenile instincts got the better of me, and I knew I had to wear that crappy clip-on tie. It would be the ultimate goof, I figured. You'll wear the old limo suit, the old clip-on tie, you'll pull one over on the Academy. You have to. Unfortunately, I looked at that clip-on tie closely, and it was filthy. Not only did it have a layer of dust on it, like all of my ties, but it also had a bunch of food stains. Old food stains. Like Dinah's fried chicken, or maybe a few crumbs from a Monte Cristo sandwich. So I thought, fuck, I can't wear that. It's disgusting. Wear the gray tie instead. That boring adult gray tie with the black swirls in it. It's not solid black, but it's appropriate. What are you trying to prove here anyway? But no, damn it. I was determined to wear that clip-on. I had to complete the charade and clown the event by wearing my irreverent, ironic clip-on tie. So in a desperation move, I poured some liquid laundry detergent on that clip-on tie, soaked it in scalding hot water in the kitchen sink, and scrubbed the food stains with my fingernails until they finally became dislodged. Then I set the soaking wet tie on my back deck so the sun could dry it out. Now, the truly scary thing about all of this is that it worked. While an ordinary tie, a real tie made of non-toxic materials, would have been destroyed from nearly being boiled and scratched for 20 minutes, this was not a real tie. It was some kind of commercial-grade material similar to the stuff they made seatbelts out of, which had been formed into the shape of a necktie, and it could probably withstand a week on the surface of mercury. So when I picked it up from the back deck after the sun had dried it, it was perfectly clean, perfectly black, and as pristine and straight as the day I'd bought it 10 years ago. This was unbelievable. I was actually going to do this. So I shaved, showered, put on the suit, clipped on the tie, and it looked perfect. The fake perfect knot of the tie was the exact right size for the shirt collar. The whole ensemble looked perfect. I could really wear this thing and no one would know. So I got my keys, put the dog away, and started to lock up. When I stopped and thought to myself, what the fuck are you doing? Are you still some 25-year-old smartass who thinks he has to pull something over on everyone? Do you still have to use irony to distance yourself from others and make a mockery of who you really are? Are you still so insecure that you have to clown yourself because deep down inside, you don't feel like you really deserve to be there? You don't have to do that anymore. You're not playing the part of a professional person working in this business. You are a professional person working in this business. It's not a costume party. You were invited there. The person who invited you did so because he respects you and likes you. You didn't con your way into this. You deserve to be there and you've earned it. So take off that stupid fucking clip-on tie and let's go. So I did. I took off the clip-on, put on the boring but appropriate gray tie with the swirls, and went. And the event, like most formal events, wasn't really that great. Rubber chicken, long speeches, women in prom dresses. But it felt great to be there as an invited guest, not an imposter who had to worry about his clip-on tie getting snagged and comically yanked off by a car door or a power window. I didn't have to worry about being exposed as a fraud because I wasn't. But at the same time, As I sat there in the audience watching super talented performers get up on stage to present and receive awards, I do have to admit I felt a little sadness too. A little wistful that I was watching others get awards and not receiving one myself. Mourning that my ticket to the Emmys hadn't been as an artist on stage, but as a member of the audience instead. That isn't the direction I thought my life or career would go, and that little heartache will probably always be there. But you know something? My life is pretty good all around, and as fallback careers go, this one is pretty goddamn good. I might not be up there on stage getting an award, but I have some pretty damn good seats.